5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
All right, today we're going to talk about how we can find out and how much we can find out and what it takes to get there. So let's say in this case, I want to find out at a level of 7. Okay, so I find that level on my graph and I come horizontally to my gradient line. Where it intersects with my gradient line, I'm going to come straight down to where it intersects with my round line. That there is going to tell me how much I have to round to find out what I need to find out. See, as you can see, the more you around, the more you're going to find out. And also, if you stay down here and you never around, you'll never find out. So I hope this lesson is helpful. Thank you.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back, my friends. Delighted that you are with us on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Hey, Brock, I want you to find this article that I'm trying to connect with here at the top of this hour because I put the wrong link in here. And if you could find that and forward it to me, that would be super duper. Meanwhile, I want to tell you guys, you know, this the ugly underbelly of this lack of original thought to me is a very distressing sign of general decline. You know, we are not championing innovators and outside-the-box thinkers. We are allowing people who check boxes, who didn't do the work, to fail upwards into positions of authority. And that is a terrifying thing. It is terrifying. It's sort of like how unoriginal every television show is, every movie you get. How many times can we remake this, right? Roseanne's show is now without her. It's boiled down now. It's the Conners. I'm surprised there hasn't been a Love Boat rerun. Everything has been redone. And if it hasn't been redone, it's the low-hanging fruit of reality TV. This is called a lack of original thought. Why should I have to be interesting? Why should I work hard? I can just steal somebody else's stuff and be okay with it. I'm not okay with that. Are you guys? Because I'm not. So that brings me to this story. Thank you, Brock. Here's your headline. Gateway pundit busted. And it's really unfortunate when it's a box checker who's checked boxes to ascend into a position that's just ridiculous. We do not need teams of diversity, equity, and inclusion thugs, you know, marauding around college campuses, browbeating people to be equal. I mean, it's just the dumbest predicate ever. It erases decades of work and again boils back down to Barack Obama, who never had any intention of bridging any racial gap in this country. He was meant to blow it up, to make us all fighting. You've seen the jar. You've seen the analogy of the black ants with the red ants. And if you put them in a jar together and you just leave them be, black ants and red ants live fine together. Not a big deal. But you shake them up. They start fighting each other and eating each other and killing each other. This is exactly what Barack Obama was groomed at Columbia University to do. Is it any wonder that the pendulum of suck is swinging back to Columbia University? No. So this UCLA chief of DEI, who led students in Free Palestine chant, of course she did, has reportedly been caught plagiarizing 10 papers in her PhD dissertation. I'm sure it was an accident. No, I'm sure it's somebody who doesn't have the work ethic, the mental acuity, the academic rigor, the thinking outside the box, has nothing to do with being black, But if you're going to put her in a position because she's black, don't tell us that we can't criticize, because this is a criticizable offense. Plagiarism at the university level, at your PhD dissertation. Yeah. Her name is Natalie Perry. She's reportedly been caught cheating her way into a highly important and well-paid DEI director position at the UCLA David Geffen School of Medicine. Fantastic. This is perfect. What are we doing? The woke UCLA gushes about the university DEI director on its website, boasting about Dr. Perry, who holds a PhD in higher education and EDM, Masters of Education and Teaching at Curriculum at Harvard, and a BA in African American and African Studies at Ohio, the Ohio State University. The woke university is so proud of Dr. Perry's doctoral dissertation, they even highlight it in their introduction to their so-called DEI expert. Quote, her doctoral dissertation, which is entitled this, Faculty Perceptions of Diversity at a Highly Selective Research-Intensive University, examined institutional commitment to diversity from the perspective of organizational values. Dr. Perry's wealth of experience in understanding and improving the culture of higher education, including in an academic health system, will be invaluable to our ongoing efforts to embed an aspirational cultural North Star's value into our organizational DNA. Excuse me, I need to go vomit. What does that even mean? It means nothing. It means we have a box checker. She's failed in all the right spots. And we want her to fail here at UCLA. Because she's ahead of the DEI program. She is above reproach. No, she's not. No, she's not. And it's offensive to all of us who actually worked hard and presented our own original work. The only problem, of course, is like many so-called professionals who are being paid obscene amounts of money to shove diversity, equity, and inclusion down the throats of students and faculty alike. Dr. Perry has been accused of being a cheater. Oh, I hate when that happens. That so sucks. Wah, wah. A cheater. And the incredible independent journalist Christopher Rufo, who does rock, claims he has evidence of these accusations. In the City Journal, Rufo writes this. Recent headlines about UCLA's School of Medicine suggest that the institution has maybe lost its focus. Instead of brushing up on organic chemistry, its students were subjected to lessons on indigenous women, with the E being an X, Wim-Ixen, and two spirits. Just stop it. Just freaking stop it. Your lunacy, your mental illness, your inferiority, whatever it is that troubles you, that requires some kind of treatment, I hope Dr. Perry and her North Star find it. Because we're so tired. Rufo continues, future doctors had to take a class on structural racism and were led in a Free Palestine chant by a Hamas praising guest speaker. The school made plans to segregate students by race for courses on left-wing ideology, and two of its psychiatry residents championed revolutionary suicide. What do you say? Except death to UCLA. Where are the adults? Where's the one person willing to stand up and to say, you know what? I don't care what you think about me. You can come after me. You can call me ugly names. You can make up lies about me. You can kick me out of my job. You can spread rumors around the planet. I tell the truth. And if my facts hurt your feelings, suck it. Pack your bags and get the fresh hell out of my university. See, I get behind $1 million salary for a provost or a chancellor or a university president who grew a pair and had no qualms telling the truth. But the bribery and the blackmail that we see so commonly in the swamp has spread like a ripple on the water to not just colleges and universities, but to every single business. Where are the business owners standing up and saying, screw you? You know what? We have black people who work here. We have Indian people who work here. We have Asians. We have white people. We have Hispanic people. We don't really need to shove it down their throats. They do just fine. So take your initiatives and suck it. It's not complicated. I just did it. Because this is where we've come. The thought leaders have stolen the thoughts of the leaders from before who got run out of town by the pitchfork, torch-waving mob called college kids. And this is the system that remains. If Mitt Romney doesn't take the job over at Harvard, maybe he bounces over to UCLA, spread a little bit of his joy on the left coast. So damn disappointing, isn't it? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, you know that story of the Texas rancher accused of killing a dude who was illegally on his land, but they never found the bullet? There were no bullets, but they tried to nail him for murder? Well, there's been a verdict in that case, and I'm going to go with you want to hear it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. All right, so I'm loving this Arizona Central website, azcentral.com. Headline, judge declares mistrial in rancher murder case. Nogales, I guess that's how you pronounce the word. My rudimentary Espanol tells me that that's how you say that. Jurors in the murder, this is such a dumb case. Here you have I'm going to say elderly. I'm 54. The closer I get to 60, 70, and 80, I'm going to be a little bit more ginger with that. I think legit elderly is a frame of mind. The way if you look at him, he looks old. But this dude is tough. He's American tough. And he's been ranching in Texas for decades. And his land has been invaded by Joe Biden's open turnstile. Come on in, open border. And so just so happened in 2021, a migrant died on his property. Not the first. They find bodies all over the place because that's the humane way to do it, right? Thanks, Kamala. Excellent work. So prosecutors tried to blame this Texas rancher guy and say that he killed this migrant. And he's like, I didn't kill anybody. I shoot my gun up into the air because these guys were getting within 100 yards of my house. It is my wife, it is me, and it is my gun. And if you want to be on the losing side of that, come hither. Fired a warning shot, right? He didn't shoot him, he said. Well, let's hear this. Jurors in the murder case of a Nogales area rancher accused of killing an unarmed migrant on his property were unable to reach a unanimous verdict and remain deadlocked on the charges. After more than 15 hours of deliberation, Santa Cruz County Superior Court Judge Thomas Fink declared the mistrial just after 4:30 p.m. yesterday. The court scheduled a status meeting It was yesterday. April 29th, to allow the Santa Cruz County Attorney's Office to decide if it wants to retry the case. Oh, we want to spin our wheels here. We want to do this. See, they didn't find any bullets. Guy was shot, died on his property. Prosecutors want to say the rancher's the guy who killed him. Well, I like NCIS. I like watching Bones, right? I like police shows. I have some basic knowledge of forensics. Don't you need a bullet? Don't you need to match a bullet from somebody's body to the firearm? Right? And then you got to put the person who pulled the trigger behind the gun at the time said shooting happened. Not really. We're not going to do that. You're a bad guy. We're all about migrants. Migrant died. We're going to come after you. This is justice in America. They won't wear me down, rancher George Allen Kelly told reporters after the mistrial was declared. Amen, sir. The trial centered on the January 30th, oh, it's 2023, I beg your pardon, death of Mexican migrant Gabriel Butemia, who was found shot after Kelly fired warning shots into the air, his defense attorney said. Kelly faced a second-degree murder charge in this guy's death and a charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon for putting another man, Daniel Ramirez, in danger. They're doing exactly what they did to the January Sixers. They're doing exactly what they did to Donald Trump. We're not going to just charge you with one thing. We're going to bog you down with 57 different infractions, even some that go all the way back to the Revolutionary War. Why not? Or the Civil War. Why not? We're going to bog you down. We're gonna drown you in litigious oatmeal. That is our goal. Attorneys and the judge discussing which instructions to pass on to the jury noted that the jurors looked tired and frustrated earlier that day when they told the judge they were at an impasse. Kelly's defense attorneys called it a victory and the second best outcome. One of his two attorneys, Texas attorney Kathy Lothrop, said the trial is the longest she has had in her 24 years of practice. She said she will represent Kelly if the case goes to trial again. She called the disclosure requirements in Arizona mind-boggling. She says, here you disclose everything and depositions. It's just like you tried the case a few times before you get to an actual trial with the jury. That's just mind-boggling to me. And on Monday, Kelly's wife sat in the front row of the courtroom clutching a plush cat stuffed animal as she awaited the verdict. I feel like I've been in suspension for 15 months, she said, and I'm getting nowhere. I'm still on that treadmill. We have to wait a little longer. This is the play. Financially bankrupt you. Use taxpayer dollars. Judges that are on your side, do what you can to find jurors if you can manipulate them and go after somebody who did nothing wrong because you have to create an illusion. And this rancher, God bless him, I rescind my original word. He is not elderly. He's a badass. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, justice. Conflict of interest much. The California judge who disbarred Donald Trump's former attorney apparently was funneling gobs of cash to a Democrat super PAC and she didn't recuse herself? Of course. Next. Something Jonathan Turley said, the George Washington University professor we brought to you in the second hour of today's show. He was truly baffled. He was almost awestruck by how ridiculous his chosen profession has become. The law, the illusion of justice. It's like fiddling with an experiment. Once you bring in an outside something that's not part of the control, you fudge everything up. You cannot extrapolate any kind of results. You certainly can't predict anything. When you sully the facts, when you concoct evidence, when you cook the books, justice is no more. And I think we heard that in Jonathan Turley's voice earlier in the program, as he was really just almost awestruck by how corrupt and depraved so many of these people going after Donald Trump or the January 6th defendants or anybody else have become. It's a really hard thing as a journalist. You know, 30 odd years in media. It is all I ever wanted to do ever since I was about 10. And if a TV station, a local TV station or national came to me and said, you know what, well, we think you're the best thing since sliced bread. We're going to pay you gobs of money. Come on our show. I would say no. Because they've ruined the field that I once loved. And it would be soul crushing to go and to pretend that it was anything other than corporate people telling lesserlings, and I would be one of them, what to say and how to say it. I'm done. I'm not your parrot. But what Turley said was he's just flabbergasted by how brazenly poor a case this is, how idiotic all of its elements are. The allegations are preposterous. And you have a boob in Alvin Bragg and a prosecutor guy directly connected to the Attorney General's office, Joe Biden's Attorney General's office, who's the first prosecutor out of the gates to start talking. They don't care that you know that they're all corrupt. They don't care that you know that they all suck. They're used to getting away with it. And that makes me wonder, how long have they been getting away with it? I mean, how much have I not paid attention to? Well, these sorts of stories, and this one comes to you by the Arizona Sun-Times, suggests a really long time. And that's humbling because we've been asleep at the wheel. So here's the headline. California judge who disbarred Trump's former attorney, John Eastman, we told you about that story a couple weeks ago, funneled money to a super PAC whose job is to fight election integrity. Can we all just agree that we vote once? That nobody steals our vote? That we shouldn't be flooded with early voting 3 months in advance, that we shouldn't have all these ballot drop boxes, that we shouldn't have judges who at the 11th hour change the rules and say, don't worry about that voter, you know, the signature verification, the timestamp, that's so last year, right? Well, let's move along. No. And that they've stolen elections. Don't tell me that elections haven't been stolen. And I'm not just throwing stones at Democrats. I'm more offended by dirtbag Republicans. So here's your story. It's so brazen. It's so in your face. This judge so should not be on this case because she freaking gave money to a Democrat super PAC that is anti-election integrity. And she specifically sat on a case and adjudicated a case about election integrity from a guy whose whole wheelhouse is freaking election integrity. And she had the audacity to dis-freaking bar him. You ought not get away with it. California Disciplinary Court Judge Yvette Rowland, who disbarred Trump's former attorney and constitutional legal scholar John Eastman last month, contributed to a Democrat PAC, Political Action Committee, last year, which funneled all of the contributions to a super PAC that seeks to stop, quote, undermining the most basic tenet of our democracy, the right to vote. We're not saying people shouldn't have the right to vote. We're just saying you shouldn't vote 15 times. You shouldn't be able to ballot harvest. You shouldn't be able to lie and to cheat and to steal. You shouldn't be able to lose evidence and be like, what? What are you talking about? Here are the specifics. Despite the fact that the charges against Eastman were all related to his efforts investigating and stopping election corruption in the 2020 election, Rowland, the judge who funneled money into this super PAC that fought election integrity, refused to recuse herself. No wonder Jonathan Turley is befuddled. He's like, wait a minute. This doesn't happen. This is the law. This is justice. This isn't malleable for your benefit right now. It's not corruptible. You can't molest this. It's precedent. Or is it? While serving on the bench, Roland donated $250 twice in March of 2023 to Newsom for California Governor 2022. Just 18 days later, Newsom for California Governor 2022 then contributed everything it had raised, about $23 million, to Campaign for Democracy Group, an independent expenditure super PAC, aka a clearinghouse of suck measures meant to grease the skids so people can continue cheating and lying in our elections. The Campaign for Democracy Group is primarily supporting Newsom. Get out! This is so weird. So you have a judge who gives money to a super PAC that gives its donations to another super PAC, which funnels money to Gavin Newsom. And then back into measures ostensibly to create the narrative that Democrats are all about democracy and the Republicans want to steal elections. And she did not recuse herself. It's so damn disappointing and predictable. Its website, this super PAC, Campaign for Democracy Group, states this. I'm sure it's going to be flowery language that wraps itself in the Constitution. Maybe there's some star-spangled goodness they're going to give you. Let's find out. Quote, across the country, extremist Republicans are systematically attacking the very foundations of a free society, bullying and criminalizing the most vulnerable. Who exactly is that? Bullying and criminalizing the most vulnerable, denying women equality and reproductive health care, attacking communities of color, dehumanizing immigrants seeking the American dream, banning books and restricting speech, and undermining the most basic tenet of our democracy, the right to vote. I could go into this and read all the specifics to you, but you already know how it goes. Because this is how every single thing that they do goes, whether it's education and transgender nonsense and hormone blockers and gender scramblers and that freaky freak, Rachel Levine, right? Oh, it's gender affirming care. No, it's not. It's called child abuse. Well, if you're against it, you're a hater. You're anti-gay people. You suck. No, we just kind of think fifth graders should grow up a little before they decide to chop off body parts or stitch them on. Kind of common sense. We could do this with COVID and vaccines when those of us who were like, wait a minute, I don't remember ever the federal government telling me what I should do with my body. I mean, this is so weird. All these people were like, me too, my body, my choice. All of a sudden they're all about get the vaccine. And those of us who are like, that doesn't really add up. Can you explain that? Well, you're a vaccine denier. No, I'm not. I'd just like to see your trial data. Is it safe? Did you test it on pregnant women? Oh, that's right. You tested it on 44 rats. Pregnant rats. And then you extrapolated that suck data to tell women all over the world it was safe and effective, and it was neither. We could talk about the elections that way, too. Anybody out there was like, you know, that was so weird. I was at my polling place, and I'm a watcher. Right? Volunteer. And then all of a sudden they shoot us out of the building and they said, there's a huge water main break. And all I could see was a dripping toilet. But we left. And then all of a sudden we see video of them feeding the ballots and the machines all night long. I just think that's kind of weird. I think maybe we should talk about that. Oh, you are a part of the big lie. Meanwhile, we have judges on the bench, ladies and gentlemen, who aren't just dirty. They're not just Democrat operatives. They're not just ensconced in the swamp of sock. They go after people who threaten to expose them. she disbarred this attorney for having the audacity to believe Americans' elections should be above reproach. Sister, your day's coming. It just is. Quick time out when we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. The climate change grift that failed to stick. How important is climate change to everybody out there? Are you hot and bothered by it? Oh my God, hopefully you guys are charging your electric vehicle right now. We're back with this poll. It's unfortunate. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, it's interesting when you follow the trajectory of these ideas that people come up with to just agitate people, the hot button topics. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? And for a long time, it was climate change. Climate change didn't really work for a while because Al Gore and John Kerry and other climate pimps, you know, flying around the country in their private jets. And then they try to tell you, I've given so much of my time that my carbon footprint kind of is irrelevant in the atmosphere. It doesn't matter. Bill Gates says that as he's trying to get everybody in the world jabbed. He's trying to crack down on the overpopulation. Please. Have you guys driven through the Midwest? There's lots of space out there, yo. How about this Breitbart.com story? Earth Day poll. How's everybody feeling about Earth Day? Are we super worried about everything? No. Climate change apparently is a last priority for Americans. That's terrible. Oh, Al. Oh, John. Climate change is tied as the last priority for Americans. It's a recent Gallup poll finding marking another year that the issue remains the least important priority. Now, they have to do this because then if people are like, oh, my gosh, we're killing the earth, then they can go out and run on that. We're the party that's going to save the planet. It's just going to cost you millions of dollars, but it'll work. Okay. Because the earth does not consistently warm, they changed the term from global warming to climate change, which justifies their claims regardless of whether the earth warms or cools. Oh my gosh, we had a snowstorm. Global warming. We're in a drought. Global warming. Did you guys see all the locusts? Global warming. It's idiotic. Right? You cannot reject what hasn't happened, or you cannot refute what hasn't happened. It's like, well, you got the jab. Well, I got sick still. Can you imagine how much worse it would be if you hadn't gotten vaccinated? Right? You can argue your way out of anything that sucks. Gallup found climate change. What do you think is the nation's last priority? Let's see. Number one, immigration at 28%. That gives me some hope. We've got some hope. People are seeing what's going on. They're not down with it. They realize it's Joe Biden's issue. That's good. Number two, the government. Top priority, the government. Poor leadership of it. That doesn't bode well for Biden either. 19%. In number three, the economy in general. 14% said that. High cost of living, inflation, 11%. Poverty, hunger, and homelessness, 6%. Really? Unifying the country. Does everybody out there agree that we're not uniting? We're not unifying. There's no kumbaya. We're not grabbing hands. We're not going to sing a dance around the campfire. Ain't happening. It's a great idea, but it's idiotic. Crime and violence is at 3%. Elections and election reform, 3%. And then all of these in descending order all the way down. Race relations, 3%. Abortion, 3%. Ethics, moral, religious, family decline, 3%. Foreign policy, foreign aid, 3%. Unemployment, wage issues, health care, education, judicial system, war in the Middle East, all at 2%. And there at the very bottom, 2%, climate change. So war in the Middle East and the environment, climate change, the bottom of the barrel. Poll comes as leftists celebrate Earth Day on Monday by using it as a political lever to push a radical agenda of transforming the American economy towards socialism. So I'm going to Jen Psaki and circle back to the beginning monologue. not a good day to be Barack Obama. The jig is up, man. We know who you are. We know what you are. You served 1,400 days in the United States Senate, sir. And they cherry-picked you because you fit a narrative that America thought it was time to unite around somebody who wasn't a middle-aged white guy. And as Joe Biden said, he was a clean, articulate guy. Woof. Groomed for this very opportunity. Planted the seed. Groomed Barack Obama. Taught him the inner machinations of Saul Alinsky and others. And set that young man free to go destroy America. And job number one on day number one was traveling around the world apologizing for American exceptionalism. They wanted to socialism. They wanted to socialize America. Whittle it down so everybody's kind of the same. But we're not falling for it. It's so tiresome. It's so dang predictable. And you're going to lose. These cases that are blowing up around Joe Biden and this administration. The revelations that the Biden White House has colluded with organizations, including the National Archives, to not just create a fake narrative, but to essentially plant fake evidence and to lie, to create the illusion that Trump was just bigger than the law, bigger than the rules. And that wasn't the case. Trump's lawyers asked for time. We need some time. We will cooperate. We just need to get our crap together. And the Biden administration and the National Archives worked in concert to create one of the four indictments. Because that was the plan all along. To prosecute criminally. To find guilty. To lock in jail. To strip Secret Service protection. And to essentially Jeffrey Epstein Donald Trump. And the jig is up. Barry, we're on to you, man. We're on to you. I'm Wendy Bell. Delighted to be with you. Hope you come back tomorrow. Bring a friend. Until then, peace.